We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for MIE 91.5 FM, getting your day started off on the right foot. And thank you for tuning in. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast today. And pray that you are having just an awesome, awesome day and getting ready for the 4th of July, Independence Day next week. And so I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who are traveling this week. But if you are not, we would love to have you visit with us and worship with us at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. So I want to invite you to send in your prayer requests one more time. We'll be taking doing prayer on the radio program. So far I haven't received many, so if I don't get prayer requests, we will continue to pray anyway that day. But if you have a need in your life that you would like for us to stand in agreement with you, give us a call and we will be more than glad to do that. That will be taking place next week. So let's get into the word today. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We are going to begin reading today at verse number 12, and moving on from there, I want to share with you some pertinent information from this passage of Scripture that I find to be quite informative, and maybe it will be a blessing to you as well. Verse number 12, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children born of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And that's where we are going to stop reading today. So I've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but I want to jump into verse number 12 through 16 just a little bit and share with you what what Paul was going through with when he was dealing with these believers in Galatia. He said, "Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You've not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first." And what I wanted to share with you there is we should not allow the problems or the attacks that we endure in life to deter us from sharing the gospel with those that we come in contact with. This last Monday, I flew back in from my vacation to spend time with my parents celebrating their anniversary. And I was scheduled to go through one city and then on to Orlando. I was going to depart Tulsa, go to another city, and for some reason, my flight that I was going to catch out of Tulsa was delayed, and it was delayed to the point that it was going to cause me to not be able to make my connecting flight to Orlando. And so they rerouted me, and it made me a couple of hours late. And some people have the mindset that if something isn't exactly as it was scheduled, that that's a problem. But I don't look at things like that. I look at them as God orders my steps in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And so I figured that there was a good reason why I was rerouted. Instead of going through the original city, I was rerouted to go through a different city, which meant that I was going to get in later than what I had originally planned. So it did alter the plans for the evening, but in the meantime, I got to sow some seeds into people's lives that I would not have met, I wouldn't have encountered them if I had not been rerouted. And Paul said it was because of a physical infirmity. I don't know what that physical infirmity was. I don't know how long he endured it. I don't know what brought it on or anything like that. But he said the detour that he had in his life caused him to be able to preach the gospel to the Galatian people. And so I want to encourage you today that if you're having to go to the doctors more than you want to go to the doctors, I want to encourage you to let the love of Jesus shine brightly through you. And maybe you'll get to sow some seeds into people's lives that you would not have got to encounter. I see people all of the time, but a lot of times I will see people in atmospheres that I wouldn't have seen them before. I ended up someplace where I would not normally have encountered people. And it's there that the light of Jesus, see, the sun shines all of the time. And if Jesus is living in you and living in me, if there is an attack against us physically, if there's an attack against us financially, whatever it might be, you say, you know what? I'm just going to let Jesus shine through me right where I am at. It said, "And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." The second thing that I want to address with you today is, a lot of times we look, I won't say we because that's not me. A lot of times people look at others who are going through physical challenges and they think that there is a problem with that individual. You will hear it said in some circles like this, well, you just must not have enough faith or you wouldn't be going through that physical situation the way that you are. And I want you to see that Paul had been extended that same logic, they would have rejected Paul, they would have rejected his ministry, and we would not have much of the New Testament that we have because people would not have been able to get over the fact that Paul was not perfect and he wasn't without immunity, or he didn't have immunity from physical challenges. And so I want to encourage you today that if you are encountering people, let's please not expect perfection out of them. Let's instead receive them with the grace of God and say, God, I want you to use them to minister to me and use me to minister to them. Because it goes on And it says, "What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." And so Paul commends the Galatians, and he said, "You not only did not reject me when I was battling this undisclosed physical attack, but instead you had a heart of compassion where you would have gone to great extents so that my life would have improved. You would have made your life more challenging so that you could have made my life better." And I want to ask you, isn't that really what the ministry of the body of Christ is supposed to be about? Aren't we supposed to be a blessing to our community? Aren't we supposed to be a blessing to our families, to those around us? I believe that we are. The world that we live in is self-centered first, and then we will minister to others with if there's anything left over. But ministry in the body of Christ is we minister to others, and God will take care of us as well. Listen, Paul had a tremendous ministry support team. He had Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He had the Holy Spirit. He had angels that were being dispatched and communicating to him when he was going through shipwrecks and storms. And there were miracles, miraculous raisings from the dead when he was stoned. He had a tremendous support system. And so these Galatians, they had a heart to take care of the man of God and minister to him. And I pray that we will be moved with compassion with people that we encounter in this community, and that we will do what we can to share the gospel with them and make their lives better, not just through the gospel, but through practical application of the gospel as well. There are some people who only want to touch the tangible needs, but they don't want to address the spiritual needs. Some people want to address the spiritual needs, but not address the tangible needs. And as Christians, we are called to do both. We are called to do both. And the Galatians had that spirit. And so Paul is commending them. And he says in verse number 16, Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I want to remind you one more time that earlier this year, I had a series of statements that came as I was preaching, and that is that in the land of darkness, light is offensive. And in the land of deception, truth is offensive. So as I was flying in, this was the last leg of my journey. Beautiful, beautiful plane. Ended up being one of the nicest planes I've ever been on. And during that flight, most of the lights were turned out for a good part of the journey. And eventually the sun had gone down, and it was rather dark in the cabin. And then just as we were beginning our descent and they were coming up and down the aisles, they turned on the lights, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, you know, your eyes had adjusted to being able to function in the darkness. Then all of a sudden the light's on, and that can be quite a shock to the eyeball. You've got to have things to be able to refocus and get the proper amount of incoming light and into your eye so that you can see. So when they turned on those lights, it was a little offensive at first. And it's like, oh, well, that's normal. That's normal. I'd just gotten accustomed to living in diminished illumination. There just wasn't as much light as what there should have been. And so we live in a society right now where for decades now, it has been gradual diminishment of gospel permeation throughout our society. And as that has happened, people have gotten used to less and less light, spiritual light. They have become more and more accustomed to less Word of God rather than more Word of God, less love rather than more love, and less truth instead of more truth. The scripture says, thy word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there are people who would, if you tell them the truth, they will get offensive because it threatens their worldview. It threatens their mental position. If you tell them the truth, it threatens their spiritual complacency. And I want you to know that in spite of all of that, we are still called by the word of God to speak the truth in love. Okay? So it means that you realize that there are people who are living not where God wants them to be yet. They're living at a lower level than what God wants them to be at. So you speak the truth to call them up higher, but you speak it in love. But yet there are some people who, when they hear that truth, they're going to say, wait a minute, I can't handle that truth, and therefore I've got to treat you like an adversary and like an enemy rather than as a friend. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So I, with that being one of the definitions, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens the countenance of another, I want to ask you, how many true friends do you have? How many true friends do you have where there's a provocation to have a better walk with Jesus than there's ever been? How many true friends do you have where they can speak the truth into your life, even if it's a painful truth, because you know that they are not doing that to injure you? They are doing that. They are speaking that truth in order to cause your walk in faith to become stronger and to become better. So I was in Oklahoma this last week and had the wonderful opportunity to preach at my home church and both of their services. And I had the opportunity to share the word of God, which I always love. And you know, there were people who were very grateful for the message that I shared. And it's a message that I share. We're going to be talking about some of those aspects here in just a little bit. It's a word that God gave me earlier this year, and it's one I won't have to have notes on. There are several things that God has spoken to me through the years that I don't have to go find the file on it. It's written on the tablet of my heart. And they were greatly appreciative of the word, and I was greatly appreciative of the opportunity. So don't be afraid to tell people the truth. So I've gone to my office manager and told her, hey, if you ever see something that is out of line, this comes after a time of self-reflection earlier this year, and I said, hey, if you see anything that I don't see, I'm authorizing you, I'm instructing you, I'm telling you to tell me the truth, to say, hey pastor, you know, that's what I do. You see, I don't want the small foxes to spoil the vineyard. I don't want them to have any effect. And so the best way to deal with that is to deal with things when they are still young and just emerging. And so I pray that you've got people in your life that are faithful, that they're not going to wound you to make themselves feel better, that instead, whatever they speak into your life, whatever they do on your behalf, they are doing that to make your walk with Jesus better. But let me give you this little guideline. If you ever get asked to be the person who speaks truth into people's lives, okay, you need to have a relationship with them so that they know that you have their best interest. If you and I just go volunteering information to people that is corrective in nature and harsh in nature, they are going to reject it. You and I need to develop that relationship to where, like on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching and the people that he ministered to said, "What must we do to be saved?" Now, I'm telling you what, that's the easiest altar call in the world to respond to. When people are saying, "Look, the message that you are sharing is touching our hearts and lives. What must we do? What must we correct? What must we change that is going to result in salvation?" And listen, those people turned the world right side up. I believe that in the first century, after Christ had lived and died, that during that period of time, the percentage of the global population was at just about its peak. And then we began to function in gifts and strengths without that were natural rather than supernatural. And we need to remember that we need the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" If somebody does become your enemy because you tell them the truth, you just continue to pray for them. Whatever you do, don't get into an argument or a shouting match with somebody just because they don't like what you've had to say. The Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so if you find yourself in a situation where people are just wanting to argue for argument's sake, then just zip it. Just don't participate and say, we're just going to move on from this. I know that there are some people that don't like that philosophy, but it does take two people to argue. And I can tell you from personal experience that when I refuse to get into an argument, the flames go down. And other times when I haven't necessarily followed that rule, it was like pouring gasoline on the fire. And I don't want you to see you have to go through that. So it says in verse number 17, "They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." And so that's a tremendous challenge. That's a tremendous challenge for every man, every woman. It's a tremendous challenge for every pastor, every Sunday school teacher. And it speaks to, what is the goal of your relationship? What is the goal of discipleship? What is the goal of being a pastor? What's the goal of being a parent? And that the ultimate goal is written here in verse number 19. "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you," until the anointed one of God is formed in you. One of the things that we did while I was visiting with my parents was we went to a theme park called Silver Dollar City. I hadn't been there since the 70s, and they do a lot of things the old-fashioned ways. And one of the things that my parents wanted to do was they wanted to go and watch a glass-blowing demonstration. And this master craftsman, if you will, continued to take this rod, and he would put it down into the fire, one of these fires, and he would pull out an amount of glass, and then he would take it out, and then he would put it into a lower quality or a lower temperatured oven, and he would get it hot, and he would come and he would shape it and he would form it, and occasionally he would blow into it. All the time he knew exactly what shape he was looking for, and he would add some color to it. And I don't know how all of that comes about. You know, he managed to pull it off. He said you wouldn't be able to see all of the colors until it took like 72 hours from the time that he put it into this final chamber, that it would finally display all of its colors. But he was able to see what that was going to take place in that, and it took a team of people. It took him, it took two other people to be involved, and he was making this large vase, a large glass vase that was multicolored, and they knew how to manipulate the glass and how to attach it where they could work on it. They knew when to blow on it. They knew how long they could keep it out of the fire and how long they could put it back. And they went through all of this rigorous amount of work to the point that they've all got burn marks on them because it was a very intense heat. And they knew what to treat it with, special paper and all of that. They knew all of that. They knew what they were trying to form that glass into. And I want everybody who's listening to understand that God's goal is to form Christ in me. His goal is to form Christ in you, where we would be able to see the reality of people's condition, even without them talking about it. It said that Jesus looked out and saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. Okay? If we never have the visual and spiritual perceptiveness that Jesus had to see people as in their desperate need, we will never fulfill the second part where it says, and he was moved with compassion. Where there was something going on inside of him, there was such a love for this massive humanity that he said, I've got to do something for these people who are in such dire need. You know, I'm not trying to make other people like me. I'm trying to make sure that we all have the opportunity to have Christ formed in us. You see, I the world doesn't need another Bob Arthurs. But it does need a whole lot of people who look and act and function the same way that Jesus did when he walked the earth. So I want to ask you today, are you allowing the hardships of life to sidetrack you from your primary mission of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? If so, change that. Second, do you look down on people who are having some challenges and opposition? If so, stop. Don't do that anymore. And third, are we looking to minister with compassion? And lastly, are we looking to see that Christ is formed in those in this community? I believe that if we would make that our goal, that God would say, you know what? That's a mission that I can't help but to bless. I pray that you have a great day. We'll see you the next time right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.